Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, out there on the edge of the prairie. Our beautiful fall has come to an end. We got a frost here on Monday night. People were talking about it down at the Chatterbox Cafe. They said, you know, it froze last night. Oh, yeah, for sure it did. So that gives people permission to turn on their furnaces, finally. So finally they're just a little more comfortable. Eloise Krebsbach is running for mayor again. She was going to retire, and then Mr. Schoundienst filed to run against her here in another couple of weeks. And rather than turn the town over to certified idiots, she is going to run against him. She's guaranteed to win. She's going to beat Mr. Schoundienst by 1,000 votes for sure. But it's the certainty of it that makes her nervous, don't you know? Because in Lake Wobegon, we have this superstition that if something looks like a certainty, then it's not going to happen. If it can't happen, then it will happen. And so she's out there working hard, and she's being kind of saintly and friendly and cheerful, which is driving her nuts. But that's what you have to do, and you have to walk around, you know, at church banquets and so on and tell people how good they look, even though this is patently not true. She was over at the Lutheran church a week ago where they were taking photographs for a new church directory. They haven't had a new one for about 5 years. And people do change, you know, even Lutherans change. And so they were taking pictures. They had a photographer, and he'd line up a family or a couple, and then he would say to them, okay, big smile now. And this is poison in Lake Wobegon to tell people to look cheerful. Right away, their faces dropped, and so he got all these somber pictures of people. The guy who took the pictures 5 years ago, he had the knack. He got them lined up in a group, and he said, okay, everybody say ovaries. And that was enough. They smiled somehow, for some reason, at ovaries, and so he got all these smiling pictures. Pastor Liz looked very happy about a week ago, and there are rumors that she has a boyfriend now, which of course we would love to know more about. And here this last week, she was gone on Wednesday and Thursday, the two World Series game nights, and she went off somewhere, we assume, to go watch the series with him. She'd never been a big baseball fan in the past, and so she went off to see the game. She came back Wednesday night at about 1:45 in the morning, and she came home on Thursday night at 2:30. So either she had to drive a long way, or else they found something else to do afterward. Right? We're not sure, but we're watching very closely. Eloise Krebsbach, she's been angry at Mr. Schoundienst because he's a very angry man. He's angry about zoning. He's angry about taxes. He's angry about the leaf-burning ordinance. And then she ordered Gary and Leroy, the town constables, to go and pick up his dog who had been chasing children and terrifying them. And so they did. This dog has the IQ in single digits. He's just a fool. This dog went after a porcupine and got a mouthful of needles, and then a week later went after another porcupine. I guess he figured the first one was just in a bad mood, and so Gary and Leroy picked up the dog, and Mr. Schoundienst had to pay $50 to get him out. And he came down to the town council meeting and he was yelling at Eloise, and she was astonished that two people on the council seemed to be sympathetic to him. And she stood up and she said, I'm not taking this anymore. I'm out of here. And she got up and she stalked away and she walked out the door. Not out the door, actually, in the door to the janitor's closet. And she stood in there, and they knew she walked into the closet. And she knew that they knew. And you want to think of a good exit line, you know. It's not that easy to come up with. And it took her a few minutes, and then she grabbed a fire extinguisher that was there, and she threw the door open, and she stalked out, and she looked at Mr. Soundings. She said, "One more word out of you, and you've got a snootful from me." And out the door she went. It was the best she could do under the circumstances. Her brother, Carl Krebsbach, is in an ill humor because he's got these jobs that would earn him money building houses in Avon and Holdingford and St. Cloud, and people are waiting for him to finish contracting these. And meanwhile, people in Lake Wobegon call him up left and right, and they want him to come over and trim up this door that's jammed, and they want him to come and just, you know, take a look at the circuit box or something. And they've known him since he was a teenager, and so they don't really want to pay him. Any sort of a decent wage they would blanch at. And so he does all these favors for people, and meanwhile he's late on these projects that would earn him good money. People who you never met can be so sweet, and people you've known all your life can be mean as skunks. He's tired of doing favors for people. Roger Hedlund called him up and said, "Come on out and bring your backhoe. I've got a problem." So he did, even though he was supposed to be in working and building a house. Roger had been cutting up a tree that had come down, blown down in a big summer storm, and he was cutting it up, and then he noticed this stone in the ground. And he brushed the dirt away. It was a flat stone. And it was a grave. It said, "Mary Jorgensen, 1857 to 1896. She died when she was in her 20s. And then he looked down into the hole that the tree had been in. And he could see just the corner of a coffin down there. And he felt this chill. He called up Carl. Carl came with the backhoe. Carl looked down there. Carl said, "I wonder who that is." "Well, I don't know," said Roger. "I'm not about to crawl down there and look and find out." "No, but maybe we should report this." "Well, report it? Time has sort of passed for that. I mean, what does it matter?" "Well, it might matter. You never know. I mean, why would they bury somebody out here on your farm? Under a tree. What's going on?" "Well, I don't know. We'll just fill it in. Just fill it in, that's all." They filled it in, and Roger went home, and he told Cindy about this. And she said, "Well, maybe that explains the lantern I've seen a few nights out in the barn. It's like somebody was walking around the barn carrying a lantern. I saw it about 2-3 in the morning. Three different nights." He said, "Why didn't you wake me up?" "Well, I didn't want to upset you." "Upset me? Now you've upset me." "Well," she said, I put on my jacket and I went out and I looked in the barn and there was nobody out there. And then the next morning there were daisies strewn on the front yard, and there are no daisies around here, and there was a smell of lavender. A very strong smell of lavender. I have no idea what it might be." Carl Krebsbach went back to town and he asked his sister Eloise, running for mayor, who had lived back in the day out there on Hedlund's farm. And had she ever heard about some young woman? "Oh, yes. Oh, yes. There was a young school teacher named Mary. Mary Jorgensen was her name. And people have seen her walking on the road out there. I don't place any credence in this, but people say they have seen her. And she's wearing a cape, and she's wearing a gray dress and sort of a bonnet. She's walking back and forth as if she's looking for somebody." "No, the story about her," said Eloise, "is that she came to town to teach in the high school, and the first summer she was here, she fell in love with Mr. Hedlund, who was Roger's great-grandfather. And they were courting each other, and they were driving around in a buggy and going off hither and yon, and everybody expected that they would get married. And that winter, another teacher at the school, a woman, told Mary that she had seen her boyfriend, Mr. Headland, driving in his buggy with a beautiful young woman from Avon, and he seemed to be sweet on her, and he had his arm around her, and he was singing to her. And even though it was cold and the snow was falling, Mary dashed out into the night to walk out to the farm and to confront him with this. And she got lost out there, and she disappeared. Nobody saw her for a couple of days until the snow stopped, and then they found her lying under a tree just within sight of his farmhouse. She was conscious, barely, and she was in a high fever, and he came out to talk to her, and she gave him a cold look. It had been a lie told by an envious friend. There was no woman from Avon, none at all. She died 2 years, 2 days later, and he buried her there under the tree. He married a good woman who bore him children, but he never forgot about his true love who lay there, his true love who had gone looking for him on a cold, cold winter night. Well, it's something to think about with Halloween coming up and all of the young children having decided already what they will be. Will they be bums? Will they be cowboys? Will they be ghosts, perhaps? And even though it is Reformation Sunday, for some reason nobody goes dressed as Martin Luther for Halloween. The man who said, "Your laughter is the measure of your faith." He was a great man, Martin Luther. Hey, that's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.